Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen. We are glad to have you here as our guests for this next hour and whatever of the Experience Grind podcast. I'm joined here with my lovely host,
Ryan.
And I am your acceptable host, Kyle.
That's way too generous on my part and too self-deprecating on your part.
I'll tell you, here's the difference. You got the prettier face.
Yeah.
I got the prettier voice.
Yeah, that's true. That's
where the money is.
That's nice.
Because nobody's looking at this podcast.
Everybody wants that one, but you're right, yeah.
It really kind of loses you. I'm totally selling you out. I never do that. I always fluff you up like a good...
Yeah, no, sell me. Throw me under the bus.
I'm cool. A good point set fluffer. In case anybody out there does not know what a poinsett
there
fluffer was,
let's explain.
They were very popular in the 70s and 80s before the invention of Viagra. They were usually the non-attractive girls offstage that would blow the male porn stars, give them oral pleasure to stay hard or get hard before or during a shoot.
Sometimes you gotta change in between takes.
Yeah, you got to change camera angles, and dude's gonna go soft. Before Viagra, I guess Viagra has totally revolutionized the entire industry.
That makes sense. I didn't think about this.
All
you said
dudes
it,
are
but
just
Viagra,
rock hard,
yeah,
constantly. Yeah. I guess that's the way things work now.
You said medicine put that job.
Yeah, well,
out
porn.
Of
you know, porn's always been one of the leading technologically advancements, anyways.
It is. It's what won Blu-ray DVD over LaserDisc
and. The original was Beta and VHS, and VHS.
That's way before my time.
And won out, and that's why VHS became the standard. Whatever porn picked would become the standard. And it's what I think has made the internet so popular too. The readily availableness of people having sex is what everybody wants.
Huh. That's interesting.
And
giving a lot of credit to porn here at the start of this episode.
I've watched some documentaries, and I've watched a lot of porn. So I feel I can accurately weigh in on this measure. Yeah.
So we are no longer a geek podcast, but more like an internet porn.
No, I would say
website.
The amount of internet porn I watch is probably still pretty heavy into the geek section.
Okay.
So I don't think we're losing any cred here because I'm.
Now I just want a podcast delving into what that entails.
It's a lot of porn. I mean, wow. I had a lot of porn as a kid too, man. When the internet first blew up, dude, oh my god, I would go to the public library because I didn't have internet. And a buddy would, and we would print off pictures, but we'd have to be surreptitious about it because you can't just print off pictures. So one of us would be, looking at the things and being ready to minimize in case anybody. There was only certain computers you could get on because some of them faced public areas, so you'd get on those, and then when you were ready to print. You'd have your buddy go and be right there at the printer to grab that picture as soon as it came off, and then you were golden.
How old were you when you were doing this scheme?
Oh, I was
yours?
Like 11, 12, 13. I wasn't young enough to drive or old enough to drive or anything.
Were you not paranoid that they were monitoring the system?
Dude, number one, it's a public library ran by old women. They had no idea what was going on.
That's true.
Number two, I'm a horny fucking kid. I'm not thinking about anything but seeing boobs on the internet. I don't care. I get caught. What are they going to do? Kick me out? Big deal. Yeah. I mean, that was the least of my concerns was getting caught looking at it. I mean, I'm not lying.
This might be the longest intro ever. And we are not like Star Wars Andre gone at this point.
I don't know. We get off on tangents. And that's just things people are going to have to accept. I mean... Okay. This is a free rolling, free balling podcast. That's how things roll, and we're going to deal with it. So let's continue this intro now after this diversion that has made you seemingly a bit uncomfortable. I don't know why.
I just don't know what to say because I have to be guarded because I don't know who's listening.
Ah.
My mom just is like all of a sudden decides to show interest on the episode that opens with a 15-minute porn intro.
I apologize. Mrs. Demarest.
Oh, she doesn't care about you.
I'm sure you're a lovely lady. Yeah,
11-year-old, you can do whatever you want, and that's fine. She doesn't care.
You think, like,
that's cool. You want to talk about it? Let's talk some more.
Well, I mean, you think that your mom didn't know that you wanked it at 11 and 12 and 13?
There's something. All right, there's a stark difference between what you are knowledgeable of, yet without being explicitly told.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I'm sure my mom doesn't want to hear, like, my little potty schemes as an 11-year-old to get my...
It's like a don't ask, don't tell.
Euphemism.
I've confessed a lot of things on this podcast. I confessed about all the drugs I've done, and that wasn't all of them, but it was a good part.
you're just... digging the hole deeper.
I'm not digging a hole. I mean, what are we and what can we be if not truthful and honest and open? I mean...
Oh, man. I said Marc Maron before this podcast, and this is what you're doing now, aren't
you? I mean, you inspired me.
There's a topic, but 40 minutes after we talk about our personal shit, we will get addressed. Oh, man. So, we are the Experience Grind.
Hey, glad to have you back. Let's reel this baby in. Why don't you go ahead and give them that intro there?
So, we are Experience Grind. You already know who your hosts are today and always.
Yep.
You can find us at Facebook at Experience Grind or see us on iTunes. I guess that's a thing. People don't use it as much anymore. They use Stitcher and other things.
I guess so. We are on Stitcher, too. It was really sad when I realized that, because my whole goal for starting this, I wanted to be on iTunes. And
it just isn't what it used to be.
Nobody gives a shit but me, but I still care. So thank you, Apple.
Yes.
You can endorse us at any time. I don't think Apple has ever endorsed any podcast.
Yeah, I don't think they will.
Let alone would they fucking start with us.
No.
But we do have a sponsor.
We do, and who is that sponsor, my friend?
Andre California Champagne.
Yeah.
It's fantastic champagne. We drink it every episode.
Mm-hmm. Wink.
And it's it really helps get things going. It's reasonably priced. It tastes okay. And it gets the job done.
I think it's the best drink on the Citadel.
Ooh.
I am Commander Shepard, and I approve of Andre.
So that's giving it away. So this episode will be about the Mass Effect series. We'll go ahead and get that out the gate, too. Wow, that was a really long, weird intro, wasn't it? We're just now getting into this. Wow.
I tried to bring this up 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, you totally did. I didn't care. I still don't, really. It was fun. It was off the cuff. Nobody knew that was going to happen.
All right.
It's a story.
Let's take the time to excise the last 20 minutes. You think it's fun now, and then you're going to hear it.
The episode name will be Mass Effect 2.
And porn.
And porn. Well, I could do that. I'll put porn so that people will know.
Mass Effect. I'm sure there is a porn name in there.
Oh, yeah.
It
is Ass Effect.
Is it Ass Effect? Yeah. See, my brain was like massive, and I couldn't think of what even sounds remotely similar to Effect. So
it's funny.
Lost it.
I don't know if I've told you the story, but we'll get more into Mass Effect before we really get into it. But just to bring it into it and even more sexual related nature. I'm a big Mass Effect fan. I was really into Mass Effect 1, and I got my buddy Casey into it, and we were both super hype for Mass Effect 2. And before it came out, we had this little saying that we would say, especially on the internet, where it was, "I'm walking Mass Erect for Mass Effect."
Oh,
meaning that our penises were incredibly hard
Mass
at the excitement.
That's even better than Ass Effect.
Yeah, but I was Mass Erect for Mass Effect. So
Google that, audience. Google Mass Erect.
Yeah, just Google that.
I'm sure.
Or actually, Yahoo, because Google's got some porn blockers on there, but Yahoo will take you wherever you want. Or Bing.
You could do Mass Erect, then Mass Erect Poo, and Mass Erect Wee.
Please do not look up Mass Erect Poo.
And Wee.
I got some weird issues with porn, but Poo is not one of them. It will never be. That shit's fucked up. I'm not judging fetishes. We all got our own weird things, but poop fetish, man.
I am so glad that the Mass Effect podcast turned into like this adult porn talk. I wish it was Incredibles.
Gonna be honest, it's because I wasn't super into this game replaying it.
Whoa, segue.
Yeah.
Heartbreaking, soul-killing segue.
Yeah,
but continue.
We'll get into it. No, I don't want to yet because I mean, well, we'll get there.
That's true. We are going to get there. We have a question,
a question. We always have this question.
It's almost like it's a weekly question, like a question of the month, but
I have never been exposed to this question before today. I have never heard this. I have not had time to prepare answers, and if you believe that, you're pretty dumb. Sorry.
Internet magic. You just killed it.
Blowing your minds here, podcast audience. We totally have... We haven't discussed these answers, I will say that.
No,
but we were given the question before to properly give an accurate response.
And like any homework assignment, I put it off to the last minute. And
writing your answers right here.
I'll regret my decision, most likely. Just like,
Last
Wayne's
week.
World.
Yeah, you totally did not. Was that the one you said? No, you said Firefly, and then you
said,
regretted it.
Yeah, and then I heard Wayne's World, and then that was good. And then the podcast stopped, and our lovely sound editor, Andrew... I don't know if we can add that. I don't know. But he also came up with South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut, and Beavis and Butthead Do America.
Which is that one was I would agree with that one, too. Beavis and Butthead Do America.
I think I would definitely put South Park above mine.
And South Park is also up there. Those two, and what's crazy is that they're animated, and...
They are.
They do better.
Yeah, I, well...
I think because maybe it's a spectacle, and they bring in a lot more animation, and so things get...
Mm-hmm.
You can tell they're higher produced, whereas with a TV show, I don't know, it feels fakeish.
Yeah.
I got a big problem with fake, ooh, and that's something that will be a recurring theme throughout most of these.
Okay.
I think I've mentioned it before. I had a problem with... That was my problems with Matrix 2 and 3. They felt sort of cheap and plastic and fake.
Too much CG. And yeah. CG that was ahead of it. Or before its time. Like, you should not have been doing...
It was very...
CG people back then.
Star Wars prequel-y. Like...
Yeah.
You're throwing needless shit at me when... And it's just distracting, so...
Agreed. So, question of the
drop
week.
Drop this question. Dude, I love how you're thrown off by this, but I don't care. People can fast forward. You have a fast forward button, people. Nobody's forcing you to listen to this.
I'm just trying
crap.
To not. I don't want to make like the Lawrence of Arabia podcast that people are just like, okay, I guess.
I just found out that Laurence Olivier was gay.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it for 5 minutes.
No, let's not. But I did find out about it on the amazing TV show Bored to Death.
Which is a great show.
Where Ted Danson's therapist advised him to go bisexual, and he discusses Laurence Olivier being gay. I had no idea.
I did not know that either. Usually that kind of like information in the media just doesn't even interest
especially
me.
Especially
like,
back
okay.
in those days, yeah.
Yeah.
Like Rock Hudson was a big, big gay, mm-hmm. and bashed that down. I totally butchered it. I don't care. I'm an LGBT guy, and they're cool people.
Well, yeah. But some are also, cool and some are dicks, just yeah, like regular
just like
people.
Everybody else. You can be an asshole and be gay, so.
The point is
that you have a question to ask me, so ask away, my friend.
All right.
Let me answer this.
Was question. That some walking?
Was it some walking?
It sounded like walking. Ask away, my friend.
Oh, walk in. I thought you were, like, if you heard
no, like
walking.
Christopher Walken.
Yeah, I
like,
get it now, but I meant
Mary had a little
is
lamb.
Is walking? Is somebody walking around outside? No.
That's like.
Christopher Walken. Ask the question, my awesome. Friend, please drop it on
all
me.
All right. So, Kyle, my friend, if you had to pick one alien race from any media.
From all media.
What would it be?
As my favorite now. That's what you're asking, right? My favorite
your
alien
favorite
race.
Your favorite alien race.
From all media.
Yeah.
Ever. Okay. I really, really like, and I always have since the first day I saw it, the... Predator from the 1980s flick, fantastic movie, Predator.
Got a ghost. Got a goddamn poltergeist.
Predator, it's always, I don't know, it was so mind-blowing to me as a kid seeing Predator way before I should have as an R-rated movie. But my mom was, I think I've said it before, I watched a lot of weird horror movies with my mom. She was a big fan.
Yeah.
And we watched that one. And I thought that it was so cool the way, like, he has the mandibles that spread out when he finally takes the mask off. I love the invisibleness of him, like how he could just turn completely mirror-esque. That was so fucking cool at the time. He had the big...
The technology was really neat. Yeah.
And it was just a cool movie. And I didn't like Predator 2 as much, but...
It had that Alien versus Predator Easter egg, though.
Yeah.
What about that?
Well, they had the Xenomorph skull in the ship. He also had a T-Rex skull, which was pretty fucking awesome. It was massive.
Oh, man. Unutilized potential right there. Untapped potential.
Well, and I think that Predator 2 actually was not... I think they were going to do a lot more stuff after Predator 2, but it wasn't as big as Predator, and they kind of shelved it for a while, and then we got those god-awful Alien versus Predator movies, which sucks because as a kid, I used to love reading those comics by Dark Horse, man, the AVP comics.
Yeah.
Dude, those were some brutal, brutal comics, man.
And the games were really, well, some of the games were really good. I had a few Alien versus Predator games that were great. The, that movie I saw opening night, I think, that first Alien versus Predator.
I did too. That's
never
so
again.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like... Dude, and when, like, okay, it's so bad, and then they outrun this gigantic queen alien and somehow kill her, and then...
Well, she becomes, like, a Power Ranger with, like, the dead alien armor.
Which, how is that going to happen if it's full of acidic blood? You idiots! It's not just going to instantly dry out.
That's true. It was, like, super quick to
it
dying.
Yeah, it's
going to
fucking cut the shit out of her and burn her. And then, at the end, the Predator uses, like, the queen's finger... And burns Predator symbols on the chick's face. Again, so fake, so cheap, so hokey. Like, you just ruined everything for me. Big problem with that. But other than that, the Predator alien as a whole, yeah. When I love the AVP games when you get to play as a Predator. I like going invisible. I like hunting people. This shit's pretty tight. And in contrast, I like the Xenomorphs, too. I really love all of that series. They're an interesting thing. Again, they can be cheesy.
I think they're very interesting.
They're very terrifying.
The Geiger design...
Yeah, absolutely.
For me, is repellent, which I guess is what it's supposed
to be. Exactly, yeah. When I see him on screen, even now, I get a little uneasy. They instill dread.
It's because there's giant penises.
Yeah, with teeth and little smaller penis teeth that come out of the... But they're just an imposing figure when they stand up and they're in shadow. And yeah, it works on a... Like, Geiger was fucking amazing.
And when they're practical. When they are, like, an actual animatronic or person in costume moving around.
It works really well. I totally agree, man. Mm-hmm. It's good stuff. So
the Predators.
Yeah, the Predators with a very close second, the Xenomorphs.
So that would be up there, too, is the Xenomorphs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
because
I know you said...
really well, and they actually go hand-in-hand well. They didn't originally intend to do that, but I'm glad that they did.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I don't know if I'm... as strong about the aliens, the Xenomorphs, but I'll give you the Predator. It's a good one.
Awesome.
Okay.
So let me ask that question to you, Ryan.
Okay.
In all of media. All
right.
Favorite alien species.
Okay. Well, I could not narrow this down to two because favorite, I think, has to be qualified a little bit more for me to distinguish between the two.
Fair enough.
My favorite type of alien in any kind of media is the basic kind of alien. So essentially like the grays.
Yeah, fair enough.
And if you want a specific movie, like Fire in the Sky.
Creepy as all fuck.
Yeah, I saw that when I was younger. And
I did
too. It's one I've never been able to burn from my mind.
Yeah, messed me up real bad when he's in the, when he breaks out of the fucking Matrix-esque
It's essentially a good old boy gets abducted by aliens. He gets hit with a light, the movie cuts, and then he wakes up in an alien ship covered in goop, and it's just a harrowing thing to get out of, and then you figure, oh, wait, there's actually aliens here, and then we're going to do stuff to your
body. The creepiest part of that whole segment is when he breaks out of his goop and, like, breaks into somebody else's goop, and it's like some dead, like, decomposing
body.
Oh,
yeah.
Dude, that scared the shit out of me. And I like that in that movie, they were actually, like, the grays that we know on Earth was just, like, a spacesuit that they wore because they had, like, really weird
pink,
human-esque
big...
faces that on the spaceship. That was another just weird, creepy thing, man.
Yeah, that's also been done in Communion, which was a Christopher Walken movie,
alien
abduction, where that famous gray face you keep seeing throughout the whole movie, and then at the very end you learn it was a mask and there's another creature underneath. But so I guess that's one that's made the most lasting impression. But if you're talking just favorite interesting, I'm going to go from the comics.
Okay.
And it's not going to be anything that probably most people will guess because I hear people going like Kryptonians or any kind of Fantastic Four Marvel space race. The Viltrumites from the comic book Invincible, which is a 100-issue running, like still going strong after like, I don't know,
I guess
8,
I'm not
9 years.
With this.
It's from Robert Kirkman, the guy who wrote Walking
Robert
Dead.
Kirkman, yeah.
This was his first book. This was his baby.
Really? Invincible
was. Invincible.
Wow.
And it's a superhero take, much in the vein of Walking Dead. It's like, what if superheroes existed, and what if they didn't have limits? What if when Superman punched somebody, you saw a hand going through a skull, or faces getting ripped off, bad deaths happen, character deaths. It's a lot like Game of Thrones, too, where like anybody can die at any point, you don't feel safe.
So also like The Walking Dead, very Robert Kirkman.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and
cool.
He does.
So this is something I want to check out, then.
He does like the superhero coming into powers, like learning it from his parent, his father who has a power, and he's of a Viltrumite race, which is essentially like the Kryptonians.
So they're still human.
Yes.
Okay, human in form.
They are an extinct species who is the apex predator of all species. There is no species stronger. And these on Earth happen to be good, but other Viltrumites are bad, and there's some twists that happens. I don't want to spoil for people who haven't read, but
well, thank you for, because I
they're
like
just
to read this
very, very interesting. Like, very comparable to Kryptonians and like abilities, but the writing about and around their species is much more interesting than like, oh, they were a normal power, or they were just normal people who got wiped out, and then under the sun, they're very powerful. It's kind of a boring species. Like, being Kryptonian is nothing special. Being Kryptonian on Earth is special.
Yeah, it is special. It's our yellow sun. So, if I was to read Invincible, the whole story is complete now?
It is, well, no, because it's still going. It's like Walking Dead. It's still going.
It's still ongoing. Okay.
But there are so many volumes of trades. I think trades, which are six issues, yeah, like the mini story.
That's usually what I buy in The Walking Dead.
I think there are 21 currently released. Okay. Like, there's a lot.
Okay. It's something, it interests me. I like that very take good. On super. It's very Watchmen-esque.
Yes, there's a I like that. Big government part that comes into play almost about two or three volumes in.
Okay.
So they get to it relatively quickly, and it's not hokey or dramatic. Like, Watchmen's very overly dramatic about that, and the book is not. It's just very realistic.
Watchmen gets very noir with it. They go kind of kind of underground. And
it's stylized. It's
very rainy, very dreary. And that's Alan Moore living in England, too, where it rains.
Alan Moore is very, I think, a blatant metaphorist. Like, it's very clear what he is skewering in each of his media.
Absolutely.
Or each of his work.
He does good work. I like Alan Moore a lot.
Yeah.
He's also quite insane.
Oh, yeah, he's batshit crazy.
He's fucking nuts.
He is Howard Hughes' Way of the Future.
He writes really good stuff.
Insane. He does. I've not read any of his new stuff, though.
He's got some book, I guess, that he's been writing for a decade that is something like 11,000 pages long that's about to come out.
Oh, that sounds miserable.
It's like a real-life, his real-life in Ireland, I think, the streets of Ireland when he was a child and all that shit. I don't know. I've heard good and I've heard bad. I'd kind of like to check it out. It's Alan Moore. It's got to be interesting at some points.
I'll let you read it and then I'll see what you say. Yeah.
I am more of the book guy than you.
You are. Unless they have pictures. I like picture books.
So we're pretty deep into this. We have run off on some tangents already. So we'll go ahead and we'll dive in and we'll talk about Mass Effect 2. As I said, I am a big fan of the Mass Effect series. I was super hyped for Mass Effect 1.
Yes, I was too.
And I was one of the very rare... That game was not very hyped by a lot of people, but the people that were excited about it were very excited about it.
Okay.
I got into it because of the KOTOR series. I was a big fan of Knights of the Old Republic, which was my first exposure to BioWare. It's not everybody... I guess they've done...
Everybody goes Baldur's Gate.
Yeah, and I had not a PC gamer, have established... So I was not familiar with the Baldur's Gate series. I've still not played it.
I actually think I did play Baldur's Gate before Star Wars, but I didn't love it as much as Knights of the Old Republic.
And it's so good. And I used to play that game a lot. Mm-hmm. And that's what got me excited about Mass Effect. And I was really excited because they were doing their own universe. They were creating this themselves. But they were still doing somewhat of the similar game style of Mass Effect or of Knights of the Old Republic, where it was an RPG, but a flowing one, whereas it wasn't going to pause as much, but you actually do pause quite a lot in Mass Effect if you're playing
it
correctly, I should say.
I agree. And I will say, like, when we get into that, like, BioWare started off, well, as a, I think, like, an actual, like, biological medical research center.
The two creators
or
were doctors.
Right? Yeah, and then they quit their day job because they started computer programming and, like, found out on something, but they were big into D&D, like Dungeons and Dragons. And now that I've finally played that, like, just in the last year, I kind of understand what it's about.
Are you talking about Baldur's Gate?
D&D.
Oh, D&D.
Dungeons
okay.
and Dragons.
Okay. Which is something I'm still not very familiar with, but I want to be.
It's like playing a BioWare game. Like, you have those choices. You get these people to talk to, and, like, they will help you. They will, you know, you might have to do a quest the way you talk. You might not have to do a quest the way you talk. This guy might be your ally. He might be your enemy from how you talk in these interactions.
You have charisma. And you have charisma roles during discussions. I know that, like, I know a lot about D&D.
Yeah.
For a guy who's never played it, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, and I guess just, man, it kind of blew my mind how similar they were. Because you hear, like, the charisma stat or, like, these things, and it's like, in most role-playing games, they're not really brought up. It's just, like, you get to an arbitrary number, and then, like, you hit better, or you might find an item. But, like, it actually comes into play in Mass Effect.
Well, and I know in KOTOR.
Yeah, that's true.
I should say Knights of the Old Republic, and when that game was really big, it
Heretofore shall be known as KOTOR.
It became actually a really big hit for BioWare, probably partially because, I'm sure, the Star Wars license. But they did, like a lot of people, and I'm one to agree, think that it's the most Star Wars game that's been released.
It's one of them.
Yeah, and it's in my feeling, it's the truest of them, just because...
I think it depends on what you want from a Star Wars game.
I guess you're true. A lot of Star Wars games, I feel, try to focus in on... Hey, you're Luke, but you're not doing Luke things or stuff of that nature.
Sure.
So
It's definitely story and character wise in a place that no other Star Wars
but
games
I know
are.
In like the interview I read, they said that the battle system in KOTOR is exactly copied from the D&D style, and the fact it that is. Like every attack has an off-screen dice roll that you can't mm-hmm. see, determining if you're going to hit and what you're going to hit for, which is really cool to a degree. I think it kind of gets a little weird, like especially towards the later game when you're supposed to be this badass with this dual-bladed red lightsaber.
And you're missing quite a bit.
And you're missing a fucking Wookiee standing right in front of you. It's like, come yeah. on. But yeah, so I know that they are big D&D guys, mm-hmm. and you can see it in all of the BioWare games.
Yeah.
I guess is my final point I'm trying to bring to this very long-winded roundabout discussion. So you can see it that way. They're very D&D friendly.
Yeah.
They love and they appreciate the system, and it's worked well for them.
I think it works out fantastically in games, because you think, just take out like the math you have to do in your head, or like
yeah,
the
and
spreadsheets
it does it
and all
for
this.
You.
It does perfect way to do it.
I think what happened was they did KOTOR, and it was a pretty big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they didn't do Knights of the Old Republic 2.
Obsidian.
They started working on Mass Effect. They wanted to do their own IP.
Did Jade Empire.
Oh, that's right. They did do Jade Empire.
Yeah.
Which didn't work as well.
It wasn't commercial. I think yeah. I personally think Jade Empire is a better game than either the KOTORs, which I'm sure you disagree.
I do. But I've only played Jade Empire like once, and it was yeah. a long time ago.
I think Star Wars has that nostalgia, history,
exactly.
character.
I think that's what it works better
that
for.
That does
me.
It, but if you I think if you just do gameplay mechanics, like Jade Empire is a better game. It is more fun and engaging. I think the reason that you can make the other argument is simply because of characters.
Yeah.
And the story and the lore that come with it.
I think, and this, you know, this is my own, I don't think I've read anything that has stated this. This is what I have established as the lore in my own head. I think Mass Effect was kind of a make or break for BioWare. I don't think they
yes.
expected it to be as big of a hit as it was. And when it actually did really catch on, that's what I think really caught EA's attention. Mm-hmm. Because Mass Effect 2 is published by Electronic Arts.
Mm-hmm.
They
was originally a Microsoft exclusive.
Yeah, Mass Effect,
Mass Effect
1 is.
Mm-hmm.
And
you can get it now. Now there are PS3 like Mass Effect trilogy bundles that
okay.
you can play it.
So you can get it now.
You
but
can
yeah.
now. Mm-hmm.
But I remember playing it and loving it, and then... So we're going to get into Mass Effect 2 now. I'm done gloating about Mass Effect 1. And when Mass Effect 2 came out, understand...
So this is my number 2 game. No.
This is your number 3.
3. Yeah. My number 3
this
game.
This is your number 3 game.
No my own list.
I just want to, you know, stress again and state I am, or at least was, one of the biggest Mass Effect fans. I loved this series up until halfway through 3.
Okay.
But now...
We can talk about that later if you want.
Now, replaying through 2, I'm noticing a lot of things. Because I have not played this game for a long time. When it first came out...
This is going to be your Halo episode.
It might be. There are a lot that I do like about it still. But there's... Okay, so I'll just start breaking things down. I guess for the first thing, my first note says, there was so much hype originally for this game for me. I was very into it. There were a lot of extra, of course it's EA, so they had extra DLC things that you could get in the real world. I remember going to gas stations and buying Dr. Peppers to get DLC codes for certain armor.
Wow, I did not
yes.
do that.
See, this
at
is,
all.
This is my level, so you understand my appreciation of this originally.
Okay, I do.
So, I've always played the Mass Effect series as Male Shepard, full-on renegade, total dick. Based on your advice, this one... It was my idea to do FemShep, but
which you absolutely should.
You requested that I play as Paragon,
see,
which is
the other side of the story.
The super nice person way.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad. I still like being a dick.
Well, yeah, who doesn't?
But it was fun being Paragon, I will admit. It was cool to see parts of the game that I had not ever seen, because I have never played it Paragon.
Yeah.
Ever. Not once.
Certain people
outside
will die
of,
if you play
think,
a certain way.
I think... Oh, I take that back, because I did chase for 100% on this, and you don't have to beat it as Paragon, but
I don't
think you
so.
Have
to
max
You just
max
have to get to a
Paragon.
Certain point
yeah.
in Paragon.
And I did
yep.
do that, and then I was like, okay, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll give good things. I'm just going to read through my notes here.
Go for it.
One of the things I love about this series, and they include even more in this one, is that there is such a vast collection of unique, cool alien races.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking mind-blowing. The universe building in this game is phenomenal. They are setting up this fantastic story, and they are hitting on all cylinders with that. Contrasting to that, where my problems really come in with this game is the combat. And it's weird, I know.
Okay.
But I found myself fighting the combat in this game so much trying to play through it. And it's weird, I know. And yeah. I don't know... I have always played as a soldier, and this time I played as the Vanguard class. And the Vanguard class is the type that...
They're more biotics or tech-based?
They're not what they have is they're shotgun-focused, and they have the charge attack where they charge in and hit people and then clear people out with shotguns. That was very hard at the beginning, and it caused me a lot of trouble. And then I breezed through all of the game until the ending again, and then... Again, I was just fighting.
Did you play a normal difficulty?
I was on normal, and the amount of times I died in battle because I was fighting controls, I feel this game should have aped the cover system of Gears of War, and it tries to do cover, and it does it badly.
Ooh.
And a lot of times you're fighting it, and things are... Like, I feel there were a lot of times I was in cover, and I was still getting just ripped apart by shit. And they weren't even flanking me, because flanking is a big part in this game. But they weren't, and I would still... I'd zoom in, and I'd knock everybody down, and I'd take out a few. And then as I was trying to run back to cover...
snapped onto something.
And I'd get eviscerated within an instant. And I put tons of stats into raising Shepard's health and raising Shepard's shields, because as an in-close fighter, I'm going to want that. Mm-hmm. And it's still... It seemed like it never really worked the way that it was designed to. And I wonder if it was because of my class. But I don't remember dying that much as a soldier until I started playing on the invincibility difficulty.
Yeah.
So that, the combat, and it's weird. I don't know why such a big budget game has such sloppy feeling combat to me.
Ooh.
And this is something.
I think you are being maybe a little unfair in hindsight, but that's the experience, right? That's your experience this time.
Yeah.
So it's not incorrect, because that's how you foresaw it. But, man, all right, compare Mass Effect 2 to Mass Effect 1, and it's a massive step forward. Compare Mass Effect 1 to Jade Empire, it's a massive step forward. Like, you can't judge, I don't think, that studio to other studios and their first-person shooters, because, I mean, it's just... a whole different team, different strengths and weaknesses that you get. I don't think a bad combat system. I think it's fine. I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's great. It's fine. It's fine. It's acceptable. You're in it for the story. So
exactly. And that, it was crazy, because when I first started Mass Effect 2, you got to sit through a shit ton of story. And I was just like, just let me fucking fight. I want to shoot something.
You get the privilege of sitting through a story.
But at the time, I just wanted to, I was like, come on, let me get into this. And then, as the game went on, I was like, come on, just let this stupid fight get over so I can fucking talk and see what's going to happen next. It was weird how it started to change for me.
Interesting. I wonder how big of a problem you'd have if you went back and played the first Mass Effect today.
And that could be something, because I played the shit out of Mass Effect 1, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think I did get all achievements on that.
Yeah.
I think I did perfect that one. And I was very close on this one, and
it was the difficulty achievement, right?
Yeah, the invincibility difficulty.
I did it. I did that achievement.
And I tell you, thinking back now, what made me stop chasing that achievement was the fucking combat. I got to the collector ship and just fucking could not get past this one fight. And I tell you, my least favorite enemy in this game, and I remembered it from that, and they were awful this time, are the fucking Scions, or the Scions, which are the collector dudes that all they do is spam the shockwave attack. And, like, it would take two, and that shit would hit me behind cover. And it was just annoying, because I, as a Vanguard, I have no distant attacks.
Yeah.
And they don't have health, and they don't have shields. They have the yellow armor, which is only susceptible to fire attacks. It's not susceptible to any biotic attacks.
Mm-hmm.
And when I would run into Scions, it was always inevitably when I had geared my team to be biotic heavy with me. I usually always ran with Jack and Samara. That was generally my core team.
Very biotic focused.
Yeah, both are very biotic focused. And what I would generally do is have them pull enemies with their biotics, which I do love the powers in this game.
Yeah.
Except for when they don't fucking work. Again, because I think the combat system is... Like, if a guy is behind cover, you got a 50-50 shot if your biotic attack is going to hit him. And your attack as Shepard is much more likely to hit than using your companion's attacks. I found that happening time and time again. I'd have somebody behind cover, and I'd want to pull them out, and they'd do the attack, and the guy would just stay there. And then I'd have to wait for their fucking... cooldown to reset, and I would have inevitably just find myself charging in and taking care of it myself. I found that was my biggest problem with this game. I found myself fighting the game a lot more than I felt I should have.
Okay.
And I didn't remember that from previous. And I'm not trying to be harsh here.
No. This is good that we're going to have some friction on this.
Because, and that's why I wanted to, I am a giant fan of this series.
Do you think going back, you don't remember because it wasn't there and you're having that now because you're used to a different type of game and how it controls?
It could absolutely be that way.
Because I will tell you, I think I've already said, I don't have any issues with the combat system at play. I felt like the shortcuts that you can map to do the powers real quick, I thought worked perfectly. I didn't have issues where people were getting stuck. And I think between Mass Effect 2 and Mass Effect 3, there wasn't really a gameplay
change.
It was pretty much the same, except the melee was now a thing.
And it was prettier.
But it looked better, but it was the same gameplay. But my point there was, I've played Mass Effect 3 multiplayer up until
the last year.
And I still, that's what I'm saying. The gameplay wise, I don't have any issues with the combat system. And I can't imagine it's too different from 2.
And again, that it might be a big part of the class that I chose to play.
What class
do you normally play? What is your main?
I usually do the soldier or all melee, but mostly soldier.
All melee? How do you do an all melee?
Or not all melee, sorry.
All biotic?
All gun base. You boost up your headshot stuff. You boost up your health. You boost up all this. Tank it out, and then soldier.
That's what I did. I played through all three as a soldier.
That's always my first time, and then I experiment.
And that's why I tried Vanguard because a buddy of mine really likes the Vanguard class, and he always talks it up. And I was like, fuck it. I'm playing through this. Yeah. Let me try this out. And I don't know if that was what – because as a Vanguard, the weapons available to me were a shotgun, which I fucking wrecked when it worked, and then a heavy pistol and the submachine gun. I had no sniper rifle. I had no auto rifle, which really hurt my distance game, which as a shotgun-focused character – I think they should have given me a sniper rifle, too, to counteract the times that I couldn't just charge in willy-nilly. Because especially, there are times when you're fighting two of the Scion characters, which, again, they are the absolute worst, and, man...
Well, it depends on who you're playing as.
That, too, but as a dude who grew up a lot with a lot of anger issues, this is something that, maybe delving into the childhood a bit... I work very hard. I don't get angry at all like I used to.
Yeah.
I used to be somewhat...
You are very mellow.
I am very mellow, and I work very hard to retain my mellowness.
Yeah.
I used to be a bit of a controller thrower, a bit of a screamer. I don't do that anymore. But there were times during Mass Effect where, I had died in the same firefight, 5 times, and I'm just like, God fucking damn it, bull fucking shit, what is this fucking garbage? But I would be screaming it, and I don't want to do it on the podcast with the microphones, but I'm sure my neighbors were like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? I would be yelling at my TV because I don't, and not to shit on the game fully, to come back good, story-wise, they are doing some amazing things here. It is fucking epic in scale. They are introducing, I think there's 3 new alien races that you didn't even meet in Mass Effect 1.
Oh, at least.
I think that you didn't encounter the Vorcha.
Solarians, the Vorcha.
No, you encounter the Solarians in Mass Effect 1.
I don't remember any Solarians.
You encounter
Mordens?
The Solarians. Yeah, because they're the dudes, remember? Because that's in Mass Effect 1, you have that check where you can either break Rex down or you can kill him because Saren has figured out a cure to the Krogan genophage using all the Solarian strike force teams.
Oh, I guess it was. Yeah. Yeah, it had to have been. Yep.
Yeah, so...
Oh, you mean the big moment from Mass Effect 1?
One of the big ones. It's towards
the end
of the game.
Depending on how you play, it could be a horrible moment.
I did not kill him, and...
I did the first time by accident.
Really?
No, because my Ashley went rogue and shot, like, and I said, I guess I did not develop enough relationship with Rex, but, like, I said no, and then Commander Shepard turned around, and then Ashley shot him on my behalf.
Wow.
Which made me let Ashley die.
Oh, wow. Cool.
And I felt no guilt letting Caden live.
See, I was an Ashley guy through and through.
Space racist.
Even on this game...
She's a space racist.
She is. But if you play it right towards the end of Mass Effect, she's not anymore. But I still let, when you start this game, not playing Mass Effect 1, it lets you pick big events from Mass Effect 1.
The PS3 version does.
Yeah.
I don't think the Xbox allowed you to do that.
No.
They assumed that you had.
So, yeah, I still had Ashley live. I let Caden die in this one. And I will say, as the female Paragon Shepherd, I was the biggest goddamn lesbian in the galaxy. I fucked every chick on that ship.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
I used all of my nice Paragon-ness and got in all them britches.
Did you ever go for a male mate?
Not once, no.
That's, you know, all right, so I can't do it.
I can't either.
I like to play as female Shepherd. Love her more than male Shepherd. I can't do it. I can't do it.
As male Shepherd, nope. I banged every chick, too. But I definitely did as female Shepherd, including, and here's another thing, you know, this game took me longer to complete than I would have liked because of the fact that I think I discussed it
you
with
did
you.
The DLC.
I stumbled into the DLCs more often than once. It gives you all the DLCs when I got the PS3 version. It gave me
which
all of them.
I like how they lay that out if you're not like trying to complete
exactly.
it.
Exactly. As a guy trying to rush through, I just wanted the story. I fucking hated when I got stuck in, and I did not realize it until I was 3 hours in to the six-hour motherfucking Shadow Broker mission.
I think most of them were only like an hour to an hour and a half mission, but the Shadow Broker is a sizable chunk of your time.
The only good part about doing the entire Shadow Broker series,
Liara.
I also got in them Liara panties, buddy. Yeah.
I was a Liara holdover from the first game. Because
I was Ashley.
Who are you going to pick? You're going to pick the green or the blue alien chick.
I went Ashley.
Oh, come on. That's not interesting. So then she showed up in 2 and 3, and it was like, in 2, no relationships except for achievement on a separate profile.
Yeah.
But no, I waited for Liara to come back.
Aw.
Yeah.
I think, and you can do that too. You can totally
sing. Yeah.
Or
you could sleep around on her, and when she comes back, you can apparently play it off.
I really like, again, all the new alien species that are introduced. I really like the new enemy that's introduced in the collectors.
Mm-hmm.
They're really cool. They're an interesting species. What's really cool, and you don't really get into this until you get into Mass Effect 3, but the collectors are Protheans, who are the fabled ancient god race that all sci-fi games have. You know, Halo has it with the Forerunners. This one, they have the Protheans, and the collectors are based off, they are Protheon husks that have been commandeered by the Reapers and done to do their dirty work.
Which is the twist of the game, is that the collectors are not the bad guys, they're puppets of the Reapers.
Of course, the Reapers are ultimately the ultimate bad guys of the galaxies.
Mm-hmm.
They are here to wipe off. I guess they come around every 500,000 years or something and totally eradicate all races. And they're like the
big... It's really Matrix-y almost.
Yeah, they're the big chalkboard erasers of the universe. They come back and they reset everything. And the whole goal is to find a way to stop it and save humanity.
Wipe out humanity and start again. It is literally...
Yeah, that's the goal.
Similar to the Matrix Revolution, what they do with 3, and you hear about the Reapers.
What's really cool, I like that humanity, we're shown as this very, we are the least longest lived of all the alien species, but all the alien species still respect us because of our toughness.
Some of them do.
Some of, even the ones that don't like us have us, I know they have a bit of they're afraid of the humans because of we're very unpredictable.
Yes, we're young and volatile.
And we're very determined. Mm-hmm. We don't stop, which I like that. It gives humanity this air of coolness that sometimes, and it's hard to achieve in this vast universe of crazy different awesome alien species, but I like that humanity is not overshadowed. We are still, even, you know, there are species, like, I think the Asari live like 700, 800 years.
Mm-hmm.
And even still, like, they respect humanity as a species. I really like that. The storytelling in this series is fantastic. Again,
oh, it's that's some of the best.
That's what I hated, that effect, you know, that I was fighting the combat to get to all these great things.
Yeah. Luckily, you're playing a game that is almost 50-50 story to combat, so it's not too bad, but...
One of the things, on top of combat, I really found, as it went on, just doing all the loyalty missions just felt like extra padding to me.
I
get the reasoning behind it.
I think that is an issue on your end because you're having to play in a time crunch.
Maybe
that too. Because I think when you play it out and you play it as you're interested in, you know, maybe I just need to take a break from Mass Effect for a few days. You don't have that luxury.
No.
But
I could see that too.
Yeah.
But doing... I wanted to get the absolute best ending, which is where you have full crew loyalty so that nobody dies on the last mission.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Easy to do if you fucking read.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they lay out pretty much, like, what you need to do.
They don't pigeonhole.
People are surprised. I was like, all my crew survived my first playthrough. It's like, how did you not? Are you fucking retarded?
Yeah.
They say, like, somebody who's a tech specialist. Oh, I have a fucking Geth. That's pretty tech specialist.
Yeah, I have a Geth. Or a fucking super hacker Tally who can also do it.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, maybe we should do somebody that is pretty good with biotics through here. Oh, like maybe one of these two?
Or Samara.
Yeah, that are fucking fantastic. So I want to ask... some differences in your playthroughs.
Yeah.
So there are certain things that can be game-changing, but they still continue. Like with Samara, I guess you can have Samara or her daughter.
Yeah, I don't see... You have had the daughter, right?
I did have the daughter, yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess as Paragon, you always had Samara.
Stop her. Yeah. Well, what's the invincibility difficulty playthrough was a renegade to get the achievement.
Okay.
And
really? Okay.
I had the daughter, I don't know the word. The Yasha, blah, 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 blah. They have some kind of name for her. The Yasha Ara. I'm just going to make baby noises in the mic now.
I know what you're saying. These super elite badass versions of them.
Yeah, Yasa. It's not the Yasa Arafat. I keep wanting to say
Yasser Arafat, Palestinian leader of the Asaris.
Yep. You have to hunt down and kill him before he causes any more terror on that planet.
So yeah, that's when you get. So you went with the daughter, Samara's daughter. What is her fucking name? I can't even remember this because I didn't take her this time.
I've only played with her once. I can't remember.
I can't either.
An S or an M word.
Oh, is it Morrigan?
It's not Morrigan.
Okay.
It's not Morrigan.
She's the vampire chick from Darkstalkers. I know that.
Or BioWare's witch from Dragon Age.
Is that right?
Morrigan.
Mm-hmm. I'll be damned. So, as a whole, like, I enjoyed the story of this game. Getting through the story was, I will say, my first real grind. This game grinded me more than Mega Man 2.
That's insane.
Because Mega Man 2... Like, again, we discuss. It's a repetition. It's learning the pattern and then exploiting the pattern. With this, I'm telling, like, so many times I was dying in different, like, you know, I'd get through one big firefight. And, like, goddamn, I hate when I'm fighting tons of the fucking husks. And, again, as a close-up character with just a shotgun is a massive spread weapon. Why can I only hit one fucking enemy with a shotgun? That was pissing me off.
I think this just comes down to the class you chose, in all honesty.
And it might be, because I also remember as a soldier, you get that class that slows down time, which is really nice. And when you're also slowed down time, you're doing like boost in damage. And I can remember just tearing through things with that.
You just add on passives to it to make it even stronger and longer.
I always liked the single shot assault rifle. That was just, it was like the most powerful one.
Yeah, I mean, that's the...
But again, I didn't have access to that in this. I had access to this really sweet, almost fully auto shotgun, which I did a lot of damage with when I would zoom in.
I could see how that'd be an issue with the collectors later on.
Especially because the bad thing about it is that not every fight takes place on your level. Mm-hmm. And there are some enemies that you cannot... They're on a platform that you will never have access to. So it won't let you shoot over there. And just saying this, it reminds me of another problem I had with the Vanguard class. There were a lot of times where, because I would do this... I'm calling it a rush, I guess.
It's the dash in.
Dash, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what it's called, but...
There were a lot of times where I had to restart start a whole fucking firefight because I would dash in and I'd get stuck on some part of the environment because of where it positioned me when it had me come out of it. And I that just, again, it was pissing me off. And that happened more times than I would like to admit.
Yeah.
And it was just me playing the game that I was supposed to be playing in the way that they had designed it. And I felt, again, it's like you're punishing me for playing this game the way that I'm supposed to. I'm supposed to dash in on these guys, and now I'm stuck on this crate, and I can't get off, and I can't get behind cover, and all these other dudes are tearing me up, and oh, I'm fucking dead.
That's pretty bad.
It could be the class. It might not be designed for a Vanguard class.
It might not. Because I feel like you're right. Like, I remember when I played, I remember starting over firefights several times. Like, it may have been through my, like, higher difficulty run, but I never felt like it was unfairly weighted against me, and the firefights were never more than, like, 5 to 10 minutes. So, like, I didn't feel like I lost much progress that I learned from my mistake, and then... I don't know, maybe you can't do it. The Vanguard class was like, maybe I go from this angle instead. And, oh, wait, that actually worked. And I put my guys here. And then you said it's not like Mega Man because it isn't repetitious. And it's like, I kind of disagree because, like, there are patterns, there are ways where there are places people come from. Like, you can anticipate, too.
Yes, you absolutely can. What I mean by that is that in Mega Man, to get through a level, it's about learning that specific pattern.
It is one.
Exactly.
Only
it's never
one way you play
it's
Mega Man.
Never going to change. Yeah. So you're going to do it, and then you're going to get a little farther, and you're going to be like, okay, I know this part.
Mm-hmm.
In a Mass Effect firefight, it's going to play out a little differently every time if you fucking die. So that's just my, you know... Again, my only complaint with this game, and again, it could be my class, but I fucking fought myself on this game way more than I felt I should have. And I'm not bragging, but I feel I'm pretty fucking good at video games at this point in my life, and I should not have been struggling the way that I was.
This... blows my mind because I know you're not bad at games. I know, so it really makes me think like letter one, you're Kyle and your opinion is valid. You're right. Like how you felt is how you felt. Like I'm not going to argue against that because that's fucking pompous dicks do that. Opinion B, letter B, number B, letter two is I think it is like a class issue.
And it could very well be. Because I don't remember fighting this much as a soldier.
No.
Until I got to the invincibility class or whatever. I remember breezing through this game on normal and heroic.
Yeah.
Decimating. And I
went through the highest one for the achievement. And like there was the one middle boss fight with... I can't remember the name, but you're like in... It's when you meet Ashley or Caden for the first time.
Yeah. Where they're
and
in
you're in that square
environment.
You first
meet the collectors, yeah.
It's
and
that
fucking
big
dick
thing.
I had a problem with that guy,
too. I got
too,
stuck
again.
Up on that one, and then I got stuck up towards the end with the collectors. But that was it.
I got stuck in the very middle with on the collector ship doing my invincibility playthrough.
I did not.
And it's
did
just not. Because of the fact that there's fucking platforms that come in, and there's collect. And again, it's the fucking Scions, dude. The Scions are so vicious and so overpowered that you have to deal with them first. And even still, one thing I do like about the collectors is that there's the Harbinger class. And the Harbinger infects normal drones. And he becomes like a general of the battlefield, and
like
if you
an elite version, like or superpowered.
He
like
comes
he's
in
stronger
and
faster.
He has more shields, and he's very vicious. And he talks to you. I like that when the Harbinger comes in. What's really cool is that if you just focus and take out the Harbinger, well, fuck, he'll just implant that memory in another drone. So what you got to do is take out the drones first, so that you can just take out the. I like that. That's a cool aspect of the battle system that. Brings a little bit of life to what I felt was kind of a dead system.
Well, and you say that, and I feel like they do that. And like, what was the enemy type that you have an issue with that throws the...
That's the Scions.
The Scion. Like,
which are a collector class.
You fight them a different way you fight the other ones. Like, that's a variety, too. Like, they have the variety. It's there.
My problem, and again, I guess this comes back to the class. Whenever I would encounter Scions, it was also when I would be overwhelmed by the husks.
Mm.
And so I would zoom in, and I'd pump my 8 rounds into a Scion and pretty much take it out and maybe finish it off with some sort of biotic, and then my team would have died to the overwhelming husk because they can't function without me, and I'm trying to focus on these Scions that are going to two-shot me, and then I'm trying to run back and maybe heal them, and then I'm trapped by the overwhelming mass of husks, and I'm getting meleeed by 8 different dudes, and I'm dead, and it was just it was an endless cycle on collectorships that happened. I hated running up against multiple of the heavy troops of any class. They again, because they seemed to be able to hit me through my cover, and it really annoyed me. What the fuck am I in cover for if you're still going
to
hit me?
I just it's hard to talk about because of the class you chose.
Yeah.
I think the Vanguard class improved a lot more in 3 because I do remember it being fun to get up in close, and I felt like I did have power.
Maybe they had done it right.
Yeah, because I know, like, with 2, the way I got through it was a lot of cover use. It wasn't, like, me running up in or...
And that's what you do a lot as a
soldier.
You
find a good cover, shoot, find a new cover. And so I didn't have these issues with enemies shooting through my cover because I felt like I always knew where they were. I didn't have issues snapping into things when I'm trying to run away. I think Vanguard killed the game for you. And I know this has been a case with, like, the first Mass Effect. Like, there were classes that were broken. Like, if you chose a certain class, you made that final boss, like, infinitely harder than it needed to be. So I think Mass Effect 3 probably nailed the classes, various classes.
The balancing, I guess we should say.
And I think you just chose an unbalanced, poorly supported class.
Yeah, and that's totally possible. It's what's unfair is that was even an option at this day and age.
That is true.
There should have been maybe some sort of testing. I don't know. You know, I just wanted, doing this for this podcast, I was like, well, I'm going to do something completely new and different that I've not done.
Mm-hmm.
And that was FimShep, Paragon. I've never played a Vanguard. My buddy loved it. I'm like, fuck, let's do it. So maybe I need to talk to him too and be like, so what the fuck do you like,
yeah,
what is going on here? Because, I was on normal.
Yeah, all right. I think, all right, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. I thought you were going on to a different subject and then I heard it, but... I think at this point, our differences in the gameplay is probably going to be it. Like, I see where you're coming from, but I also think it's the class. Like, I think if you went back, you'd have a better time.
Maybe, yeah.
But
I don't know if I will.
I also agree with you. Like, you're saying stuff like, and I have rose-tinted goggles on. Like, I'm not going to be able to see any flaws because this game is just...
Well, and again, when was the last time you have played Mass Effect 2?
Mass Effect 2 specifically was about 3 or 4 years ago.
See, for me,
I played Mass Effect 3 like last year, though.
It's probably 7 or 8 for me. I mean, not much longer than you, but long enough that, like, I don't know if it's just the way I'm conditioned in the games that I'm playing now that I see these glaring errors. Because, again, I had none of these issues with Mass Effect 2 the first time I played it. I loved it, and I thought it was the best of the series. But now playing it this way, I think 1 is better.
Oh, no.
But that's just me. The biggest problem I have with 1 is...
Well, when was the last time you played 1?
Exactly. It's been a long time still. And that's maybe my roasted nostalgia.
I can tell you, without you playing it, you go back. It controls like a loose sphincter. Like, that cursor doesn't aim on shit. It is the very, very typical D&D shit where, like, you can feel the rolls in your shots. So it makes you feel like you have no control.
Yeah.
Yeah. You fire 20 shots, 4 of them hit...
And I remember...
It's even worse.
Mass Effect 1 does have a shit ton of problems. The fucking Mako...
is horrible. Also controls like loose sphincter.
I remember getting it down. I remember a lot of people also complaining about it. I remember...
Still pretty bad.
Okay, so here's a great big difference that I liked better on Mass Effect 2 than Mass Effect 1, and that was resource farming.
Please tell me you want to talk for a minute about resource finding.
We can. I think it's so much better in Mass Effect 2 than it is on 1, because in 1, you're taking the Mako down to this fucking planet and you're driving around and nothing is happening except maybe you see a resource and you drive to it and you pick it up.
Or you find a building which is the same same room.
Every fucking time.
It is. Like,
I'm not exaggerating. It's the exact same fucking layout every
time.
They
might have like different types of crates.
Maybe.
If that.
And they'll have different aliens in them, but blueprint wise it's the same fucking layout. Yes. It's awful.
Gameplay is just barely.
It's bad.
But
really bad.
It's very interesting that you say the resource finding is you like that. That's a pro for you?
It's better than 1.
Okay, because that was like a big, like 9.5 out of 10, but that resource system fucking sucks.
In 2?
Yeah. Like,
really?
I remember a lot of reviews really hating on and people hating on the resources scanning.
What? Okay, but fuck those people and fuck those. What is your opinion on it?
I love it.
Exactly.
I think
so
it's
fuck
fun.
Those idiots. They don't
perfect.
Know what they're talking about.
Did you probe Uranus?
Of course I did. And you get the fucking bullshit from Edie, like,
it's great.
Really, Captain? I love it.
Really, Commander?
You gotta fucking probe Uranus.
Now
every
probing
time.
Uranus.
Yeah.
Really, Commander?
Yeah. Every
it's
time.
Perfect.
You
like,
gotta
what
do
a
it.
Little Easter egg.
Yeah,
like,
it's so
you,
good.
It, just fucking yeah. great. Game of the Cheers game of the
one.
Generation.
Cheers to that one.
Probing
of
Uranus.
Course, I
How
always
can you
probe
not
Uranus
love it?
Every time.
Yeah.
You're fucking
you
going
have
to.
You have to, because
yeah.
they know.
Yeah.
They know.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So I feel like we have said pretty much all there is to say about the system, the game mechanics.
Okay.
We did.
Yeah.
Story-wise, what do you think? And this is because this is why it's on my list. It's like Walking Dead, much like, well, I know you're just pressing an A button to dialogue to the next scene and Lee yeah. falls down and whatever. It's the story. Like, I love the story.
Out of all of them, this is the best story.
Agreed
wholeheartedly. Because this is doing a lot. It is very universe building. It is setting up a lot of things, but my one complaint with the story is the fact that this is the middle game, and the ending is a bullshit cop-out where it's just blatantly setting up, you know number three is coming,
okay.
so here it is. Blah, 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 ta-da. Like,
I disagree.
Okay. there's really not a big conclusion. It's like, oh, you did pretty good, Commander, but those Reapers are still out there. And it, what I did right. like, the one thing I did like is that it does show all those ancient Reapers waking up. And that okay. does set a cool sense of dread for, like, holy fuck, there's a shit ton of Reapers coming out now.
Yeah.
That was cool. But other than that,
I love the final
It just
shot.
Suffers from the problem of a middle story in a trilogy and the fact that you know where it's coming from and you know where it's going to go, so the ending is just kind of blasé.
I'm going to let you finish, but Mass Effect 2 story is perfectly fine. It yeah. is, I think, actually more linear and focused than 1 or 3 both. You're not sprawling out. You have a suicide mission to stop the collectors. By the end, you stop the collectors. It's not a middle. It's not like Lord of the Rings to Tower, whereas it's literally like, we are placeholding. Here's some trees. We are placeholding. Here's this Helm's Deep fight, but the battle for Sauron's not done because you already know about Sauron. In this game, you don't know that the Reapers are the threat until the very end, so I think that's false. I think the drive is beating the collectors, you beat them, and then the Easter egg is, oh, there's another evil who are making the collectors the issue. That's the evil, and Shepard doesn't even know at that point when it's revealed.
See, I maybe you should play it, because they talk about the Reapers a lot, especially from the beginning.
Well, because she beat a Reaper in the first one, but they don't know the Reapers are behind the collectors.
This is something that we haven't talked about yet before. I want to get into the fucking voice acting in this game. Because
it's phenomenal?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And it drives a lot. And
I would not have accepted anything less than
absolutely.
Phenomenal.
It is the best part of the game, is the voice acting, yes. and that drives the story, and it really cements the characters into their arcs.
Joker is best, Seth Green.
Wow, I will argue that, because I think Joker is the weakest, and
He's the weakest?
I love Seth Green. I fucking hate Joker this time through.
And why?
I don't know. I was really annoyed with him on the whole.
Why?
I don't know. And I love Seth Green. But
I love him. I love when you control him as your ship is getting attacked.
That part was kind of cool, but again, it's a bunch of bullshit fucking, it's Mega Man-esque in the fact that, like, oh, you didn't do this right, you died. Better restart.
I don't know how you died, because the fire happens, like, clearly it's like, well, I won't go the right path
it's
because
fire,
it's exploding.
I kept getting caught out by, like, I get fucking Scions. A Scion caught me when I was creeping up.
I don't understand.
Dog, don't question.
I don't understand.
It happened, man. I
think
died.
You played this game wrong.
My feelings, they hurt. No, but I want to get the fucking elusive man is voiced by Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas.
Oh my god, that is a huge name in a video game. Before that, like, you didn't really have, I can't remember before this game, a really big name voicing a character.
And it's a much lesser name, but Yvonne Strahovski as Miranda, who was the girl from Chuck, which is a show I watched at the time. So it was like a big thing. It's like, that's Yvonne Strahovski.
Amazing. You know, my obsession with Mrs. Incredible. Miranda has the best butt in the game.
And they make sure to show you in several of the cutscenes.
Oh, yeah. And I really enjoy that.
Shepard's talked to me. Let's put this camera right behind the left
buttocks. Let's show this butt.
Of
you like that butt? I do like that butt.
It's not 50% of the frame yet. Let's get some more butt in. We need at least 70% butt coverage.
So yeah, that part was tight. And Michael Douglas, man, is fucking bringing it as the elusive
He's
man.
He's really good. He's not phoning it in.
No,
He's
not at all.
Really good.
And it what's crazy, and I love this. This is my favorite part about an actor is when that you're really like you don't know that's really Michael Douglas. He's really getting into this character of the elusive man. Like
hold on a second. It's not Michael Douglas.
Yeah, it is.
Michael Douglas is Hank Pym, Ant-Man? Not yeah. Ant-Man.
Yeah, that's fucking Michael
no,
Douglas.
No, it's his dad. It's Martin.
Martin Sheen?
It's Martin Sheen.
Is it really?
It's not Michael Douglas. It's Martin Sheen.
Either way.
I'm like, it's not Ant-Man.
No, it's not.
It's not Hank Pym. It's Martin Sheen.
Where's our sound engineer giving us this internet breakdown?
Just make a fake... Bloop, 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 bloop. He looked it up. It's Martin Sheen.
Is it Martin? I swear to God, I thought it was Michael Douglas.
I will cut off a left testicle if it is Michael Douglas. It's
All right,
Martin
I'm going to do it right now.
All right. We're gonna pause. We will
no,
be right back.
No, we're not even going to pause. We're going to do this live on
all
air.
Right,
I've
all
got
right.
the phone right here. Boom.
All
right.
Pull it up. It's Martin Sheen. All right. I don't know if it's Martin Sheen.
Wait,
but
here we go.
It's not Michael Douglas. It's the father.
Voice of elusive man. It's Martin Sheen. You're so right. Oh, my God.
I get
okay.
to keep that left testicle.
The president on the West Wing. It is Martin Sheen.
Yes.
No matter what, he's fucking killing it.
It's fantastic.
He is the best part of this game. Mm-hmm. Best voice acting. As never playing a FemShep character, I think FemShep is way better than MaleShep.
Hey!
I will agree with that, too.
That's one thing. That's yeah. Right, whatever. You could say whatever you want about the combat now. It's fine.
She is way better than
oh
MaleShep.
So much better. I played first one as both, and I was like, I can never play as MaleShep again.
She does so much better nuance, and when Shepard needs to be cocky, you feel it. When Shepard needs to be reserved, you're feeling it. It's very nice.
Yep. The male Shepard is just one note.
Yeah, it's very monotone, yep. Very dry, which it didn't bother me playing as Renegade because, okay, I'm going to go that way. But there's a lot more variety playing through the Paragon, and she nails it. So kudos to her.
Agreed. Jennifer Hale, amazing
Jennifer
voice
Hale,
actress.
Yes. And, you know, I don't know if I will. I might. I have Mass Effect 3 for the PS3 because I wanted to play multiplayer.
Well, you know what you can do?
I can transfer.
You can do story mode, which does only cutscenes, no gameplay at all. Well, you could just watch Mass Effect 3 happen.
Maybe I'll change my class again, though, and not do Vanguard.
Yeah, Vanguard is... Well, I don't know. I think in Mass Effect 3, I think you're okay, because I know I played Vanguard in the multiplayer, and
really?
It's fine.
But that's
and that's a horde mode. That's a horde
yeah.
mode, though. Like, that's when you're overwhelmed by enemies. It's fine.
But you also have other people
different.
Backing you up.
Not as much as you think.
Well, I mean,
it depends on the team. Yeah, I guess.
I guess you
doesn't in the Xbox Live sessions I played with.
In the PS3 ones, I carried a lot. Mm-hmm. But I didn't play Vanguard. I always play, once I unlock the Asari Bionic.
I typically carry.
Hey, I'm not braggadocious. I'm just telling truth.
Dropping truth bombs.
But, once I unlock the Asari Bionic, I think that's the best class in the multiplayer.
I don't know if you played any of the free DLC updates, but you get to play as the Vorcha. You get to play as...
What?
There is... The,
I didn't know this.
It's not the Vol. Who are the little mole men? They're like the merchants.
Are they not the Vol? I looked all these up earlier.
They might be
I
the Vol.
God, there's
Vol
such
sounds
a...
like mole, so I'm like, that's surely not it.
There's such a vast difference in
But anyway,
all of
you
these
get
characters.
To play as one of those as an engineer who makes interesting little things, and it's fantastic. The DLC they did
I
for
guess
Mass Effect 3.
My final thought is
it's also
story
for free.
Wise,
download and play it.
Story wise and universe wise. This series is top notch.
Would you say it's better than the Dragon Age?
Absolutely, absolutely.
There you go.
Yes. I mean, I have not played Inquisition. I know a lot of people really like Inquisition.
It's good.
I have not played it. I've only played the first one, Dragon Age Origins. And I had a tough time with it. But, I think even universe-wise, Mass Effect 2 is so much better.
Agreed.
And not just Mass Effect 2, the Mass Effect series. What's cool, all the alien races are plausible outside of the jellyfish dudes.
The Hanar,
yeah.
Yeah, I love them.
They are cool,
Who
but they're the
like
most...
this without...
No, that's
no,
not the
no
Hanar.
I'm mixing them. Nope.
Yeah, that's the...
it's the big elephant type
yeah.
guys.
Who are also cool, but they talk like that. And what's cool
and
is
they
that
say happy or sad
They
or
say
confused.
Their emotion before they talk. Yeah. And that was another thing. From what I read.
Mass Effect 4. Let me play as one of those.
Just concluding. I know that one of the things that they were excited about, and I'm talking BioWare as the company, in creating Mass Effect, is that they were really restricted when they made the Knights of the Old Republic game, that they had to use specific alien languages when they did the voice acting. Mm-hmm. And so when they made their own, everything is English voice acted.
Yeah.
But they all have their nuances.
They do.
For lack of a better phrase.
Each race seems different visually, so sound-wise.
And they seem like they have a history.
And they make sense. Like, yeah. They were talking, so I'm super fanboy. One of the trivia is, while they were developing Rex and the Krogans, they were thinking about how to design them, and they wanted something with the eyes on the face, like they were specifically, an eyes on the face, come on. They were looking at, like, a specific type of bat. And the eyes were on the side, and they're like, well, we can't put the eyes on the side because this is an aggressive alien race, and predators in nature have their eyes in front. And so, like, they just take this minute detail down into it, into every design choice.
Yeah, and it works. Like, visually and auditorily, everything is cool. Mm-hmm. Each alien race has a different way of speaking and a way that their voice comes through. The Krogans, like our Rex, are very deep. And they're very powerful species.
That's pretty good.
And, you know, you have the little midget guys. They can't breathe any other atmosphere, so they're very almost Vader-esque. They're taking a breath almost in between every word.
Except they say everyday things. It's just like...
Yeah. It's very cool, and it's just little touches that really bring this whole thing to life, and that is so nice. And I hated that I fought the game so much because maybe I should have played a different class. I don't know.
I think that might have been the issue.
That might be my one big complaint with it. So, as a whole, I enjoyed it. It was a fun time. I've also never been angry at a game yet.
That
angrier.
Is crazy. Also, play Shadow of the Colossus again, because it'll make you just as angry.
Dude, we will get into Shadow of the Colossus. I'm going... It's crazy, because I know tables are just going to be flipped.
They are going to be flipped.
But I will tell you, I have played way more Shadow of the Colossus than you, and I understand what you're going to say.
Oh, I know. It's going to be the least surprising episode.
So, in my conclusion, let's wrap this up. We'll bring these to a head.
Yeah.
I maybe don't agree that this is as high on your list.
What on my list game-wise would be above it, though? Would you put Mega Man 3 above it? Would you put Walking Dead above it?
No.
So you just don't like my list.
It's not that I don't like it. It's just it's a completely different list than what I would have made, which is great because
it's a very personal top five. It's...
Coming into this list, I had a lot of faith and goodwill, and I'm liking that it's not so far turning out that way. To an extent.
Oh, it breeds better discussion, for
it,
sure.
It definitely breeds better discussion, and it shows me bits of you as a person and as a gamer and as a friend. Like, it's just, we have different opinions on what we like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree. Playing Mass Effect 2, I still wouldn't put it in my top 5. It's a fun game, it's a great story, but not one that I'm looking forward to playing again anytime soon.
Oh, man.
So...
The story just does it for me. It's like working through, like, I don't know, a German expressionist silent film. Like, it's going to be work.
You're giving it way too much credit
so
at
good.
That point.
Well, I don't know. I think BioWare puts in more effort on the story and characters than any other video game
absolutely.
Company.
I will give you
so
that.
So it is worth it for me to put up with
I wish
the
they
most
put a little bit more of that time
system.
In the actual gameplay.
And I feel like they have, and each game has gotten better. So that's, I just feel like you can't say, like, it should be Gears of War, because it should. You're right.
The only thing I said should be Gears of War is the way that the cover system works, because it is so cumbersome in this one. But
as somebody who's played a lot of Gears of War, I can tell you that system is just as frustrating, and you get stuck on things just as much.
Yeah.
And the roadie run is bullshit.
And at this point in time, like in the early 2000s, god damn it, what game wasn't trying to copy Gears of War?
That's true.
Because that game was also a massive out of nowhere hit.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And it was really, much like Mass Effect, it was really great up until the third one.
I disagree so hard with both of those. One, Mass Effect 3 is not as bad as everyone makes it out to be, and bunch of whiny entitled fanboys.
I'm not entitled, but Mass Effect 3 is the first one that I didn't finish.
Well, that's ridiculous.
I didn't fucking care. And I don't know if it was because of overexposure on my part.
It has to be overexposure, because the only thing people have an issue with are like the final moments of that game.
Yeah.
Because the game, finger quotes, shits the bed for fanboys like in the last mission. Like if you quit before that, like it's because you weren't feeling something.
Yeah, exactly. I wasn't feeling something.
But like narratively, like they do very interesting things with a lot of the characters that you've met in your party, and middle fingers in the air to all the fucking people out there who say like Mass Effect 3 is like the worst and it ruined, like it's not the fucking prequels. It's not like they don't owe you shit. They don't owe you like any. My middle fingers are up throughout this entire conversation, just so you know.
They really so, are. Like, he's not passionate. Lying. He's like, not lying.
Fuck you if you think you are owed like your fucking choices come to be. Like that is stupid. Entitled, rich kid, privileged bullshit, fucking Americans. You don't deserve a Mass Effect 3 that you want. You don't deserve it. And even if you did, they did a pretty good damn job.
I will counter argument so after you've invested almost $200 in a series. You should get some sort of a better payoff that you want.
Every DLC, every cosmetic DLC, every story, and it is still fine. It is still fine.
I can't really fully commit because, again, I'm not concluded. I didn't care. I got burnt out. I will say that much like Mass Effect 3, Gears of War 3 is the only one I didn't care. By the time I played Mass Effect or Gears of War 2, I was like, God, I don't fucking care anymore. I got halfway through Gears of War 3 and it was such bullshit, garbage, fucking battleship station, fucking stupid. Over it.
Gears of War 3 is just a better version of Gears of War 2 with better enemies, better design, and more set pieces that made the pace a lot better than Gears of War 2.
It's fun.
The middle fingers need to come up?
I love that we argue about this because it cements our friendship that we have these vast differences.
Absolutely.
Like, and you know, maybe it's my problem that I have a problem with trilogies. I've always had a problem
it
with
might
them.
Might be. How close did you play them together, too?
Pretty close. I don't know, man, really. It's been a long time. Gears of War 3, or the Gears of War series, I played the entire thing with my friend, and we had the same experience. We had a blast playing Gears of War 1 together. We had a blast playing Gears of War 2 together. We got halfway through Gears of War 3, and we were like, God, I don't even want to play this anymore. And we stopped. So, I don't know, man. It was even as a cooperative thing, we were just kind of burnt. I don't know.
Well, maybe I am capable of dealing with shit longer in games. That's why I like Diablo 2 is my number one, because that is like...
I cannot wait to get to that episode.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Wow.
I know what you're going to say. And it's
spoilers alert. That is going to be a hard one, buddy.
Let me tell you what. My middle fingers will be well greased for that episode.
So let's end this podcast on a good note. I just want to say... I fucking love doing this with you, man.
Absolutely. Every Sunday, this is a blast.
This is the best time of my life. I cannot wait to talk about more stupid bullshit with you that nobody else is going to care about, but they're going to listen because we do it well.
That's true.
And nobody can take that away from you and me. We fucking talk fantastically about stupid bullshit.
And porn.
We got into porn today. I agree. If we want, I can talk about porn a whole lot.
We can call it the Humpcast.
I don't want to do that because it'll weird people out.
You can release it on Wednesdays too, and it's the Humpcast.
Oh, I can release it every day. Wink, wink. We're going to fucking conclude on that point, everybody.
I think the episode should just end right after the wink, wink and just cut it.
We'll go into this conclusion. So thank you very much for listening to this.
Thank you.
A good argument episode.
More to come.
You were very defensive. It's going to turn right back around. I think we're going to get a little bit more lovey coming up because we have
movie-wise,
next episode.
I think we're going to be
fine
movie-wise.
Kill Bill 2.
Yeah.
And that's going to be great. I already anticipate greatness. I know I love that series.
Punch Drunk Love, I know I'm going to love.
I don't.
Final Fantasy VII. I don't think I'm going to have too many disagreements.
Cool.
Shadow of the Colossus, you're going to get some fucking heat.
And I'm prepared to defend that heat. As I have played Shadow of the Colossus more times than anybody I have ever met.
I don't know why you would want to.
And we will get into that. So let's not give anything away.
Okay.
Let's just end amicably.
That's right.
We are the Experience Grind Podcast.
Experiencing you, experiencing us.
Is that the phrase we settled on last time? Is that what it was? I can't remember.
I think so.
Fucking much for listening to this insane rambling of two stupid, insane madmen. We have no idea what we're doing. We're talking in front of microphones for way longer than we probably should be. But thank you for listening if you have stuck with us. We promise a lot of good things. You will always get a discussion out of us. That's what we do. We discuss. We don't always agree. That's the best part.
No.
And we do it amicably.
And oftentimes we just digress.
Yeah. So check us out again. You know, we are available all the time. We are on the internet at experiencegrind.com. Well, you can find us on Facebook, where we will be updating very regularly with many things of quizzes and asking you what your favorite things are so that we can experience them. That is
Experience Grind. So we can experience you experiencing us.
That's meta, bro. Experience Grind Podcast on Facebook. We are on Twitter at expgrindpodcast.com. Find us, follow us. We will give you information. Our next episode, I believe, will be coming into our movies, our number two movies. And that will be...
It is.
Is that you?
We already did. Your number two was Matrix.
That's right. It's,
so now
no,
my
it's
number
still
two.
Number three. I'm wrong. It's still number three. It's your number three movie. Is it number two? We're already at number two movie. This timing is way off then.
Would have to. Yeah, because Scott Pilgrim, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, Incredibles. So
yeah, you're right.
Number
so
two
it will be your number two, Kill Bill. Volume 1 and 2.
When we started the one episode, or one, whatever.
So it will be
Kill Bill.
Oh my God,
we're getting Inside Baseball.
We're getting Kill Bill 1 and 2. So that's coming up. It's going to be a good time. I'm pretty sure we're going to have a really good discussion on that. It's Tarantino. You're going to fucking love it. So,
I will get super heated and defensive. About that
I don't think you're going to have to, but
if you
want
to... I'm just
going to
just be vehemently, even if you're agreeing with me, I'm just going to be like, no!
You're so wrong! It's because
so good!
It's like me with Drive, so...
Yes, yeah.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Please stick around. Experience us even more. We love you. You're the best fucking audience for no reason at all. You get nothing from this. We are the Experience Grind. I am Kyle.
And I am Ryan.
Thank you, and good night.